Hey, everybody, this is the Green Korean.
This is Octopus Caveman.
And before we get this episode started, we have a bunch of thank yous to pass out.
Yeah, I don't know how we did it, man.
I do. We offered a lot of hand jobs.
Man, I'm getting cramped up just, giving them out.
My carpal tunnel's acting up. We just want to thank everybody who voted for us in the Potter and Family Show of the Week. We're completely blown away by the response. Thank you, everybody who voted in Potter Family. And thank you especially to those who voted for us.
Yeah, they're the real heroes.
The check is in the mail. And
thanks so much, you guys. It was a lot of fun to see all of the support come in. And this was a tough week, man. I thought for sure we were going to lose because we're up against like shows that I have listened to for a long time and have been a fan of and have been around since before Dave ever came to be. So we had some stiff competition, man. And I'd like to say hi and thank you to the Master Debaters, the Unwritable Rant. I love you guys. Highly recommended show. Great podcast to all. And everybody should give them a listen, too.
Yeah, you know what I really wanted to do is have an army of Daves carry us over the top. So we sent out like tweets to a bunch of Daves and a bunch of them voted. So thanks, Daves.
I think that happened. Daves are the best. That's why we do a show about Daves.
Yeah. Do you have any highlights from the week that caught your eye? Anything you want to talk about from the week of campaigning for Show of the Week?
Man, there are some amazing fans of Dave out there. Did you see Dirty Danny offering to show her boobs?
I didn't see that. But what do we get as the winner? Hey, Dirty Danny, come on, hook us up, man. You know, the best part, I think one of the funniest parts that I had with campaigning, because we were going back and forth talking shit on Twitter, and not seriously talking shit, we were just kind of poking fun at each other on Twitter. And what was really funny is the Master Debaters were completely unflappable. We were doing some mudslinging, and whatever we threw their way, they just said, yup, and owned it, and deflated every attack. And so they just were like unbeatable until I finally sent out a tweet that said, the Master Debaters still think that Adam Sandler movies are funny. And they came back with, you sick fuck.
I saw that and I took a little bit of offense to that because I actually really enjoy Adam Sandler movies. I'll see everything he's in. I even enjoyed fucking the... Jack and Jill, man.
Thank God that didn't come out before the polls closed.
I'll stand by that guy. That's a good time at the movies.
I completely thought someone was going to come out with, the Dave Show is made by small children in China.
I wish, man. This is a lot of work.
Can we farm this overseas?
Oh, man, my notes. Like, you know, I'll take notes before the show begins. My notes would just be so weird. My stories would be just so out there. Like, man, my hand is cramping up for making all these iPads. All of my traffic rants would just be about bicycle traffic.
Hey, we also want to say thank you to Potter and Family for giving us the opportunity to do this.
Yeah, and the Potter and Family community is a great community, and I think the Show of the Week thing was a fun thing, and they picked four great shows to start with because people didn't know that behind the scenes we're all kind of kissing each other's asses and stoked to be a part of it and had like a great DM room going and stuff. And it was a lot of fun. Great people. Four great shows filled with great people. And they couldn't have picked a better group, especially picking Dave. No, it was a lot of fun because I like all those people, so it was great. It was a friendly competition with a bunch of people that I would consider friends.
Yeah, and not even just thanking Potter and Family, because that's just kind of this ambiguous entity. I want to call out Nick and Shane. Nick from the Epic Film Guys and Shane from Now That I'm Older podcast. Both of them have excellent podcasts. And by just saying, you know, thanks to Potter and Family, we forget that there are people behind the scenes running Potter and Family. And those are the two that I'm aware of. I'm not sure who's still involved with it, but I do want to say thanks to those guys for picking our show to be part of this experience.
They're going to be so pissed. Nick's just going to be like, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Should I not have said that?
I think it's fine.
Okay. And if you're not familiar with what Podern Family is, Podern Family is just basically a big giant collection of podcasters who help each other out by retweeting each other's shows, by helping each other to promote shows. And there's a message board where each of us can go on and help each other out if they're having technical issues, podcasting issues, marketing issues. It's just a community of podcasters who help each other out. And that's what Podern Family is. And that's why we're proud to be a part of it. All right, so we just wanted to say thank you to everybody involved. It was a lot of fun to be part of the show of the week process. Thanks for including us.
Yeah, thanks so much, you guys. Love you all.
Yeah. Oh, and one more thing. We were really excited to be part of this with the podcast that OC mentioned, and we have a little something special. We wanted to include our competitors in this episode in some way. So we have two promos, one from the Master Debaters, one from the Highly Recommended Show. Those will come up in the middle of this episode. And we have a special little something, an excerpt from the Unwritable Rant podcast. I thought I would include it here in our episode.
Big shout out to Dave, the producer, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Love that guy.
All right, so please enjoy this little excerpt from the Unwritable Rant podcast, which will be followed by the cold open of the Dave podcast.
Hey there, y'all. It's Juliette Miranda. This is episode number 48 of the Unwritable Rant podcast. I'm on a bit of a tear because these past couple of weeks have been absolutely insane and crazy, and the weirdest shit has been going on. It all just seemed like such a cute adventure when the power first went out. We'd been hearing warnings about this massive storm for a couple of days, and it finally rolled in on a Monday afternoon. I pulled my lawn chair right up to the edge of the open garage so I could sit there and watch the lightning and feel the bouncing of rain on my toes. It was gorgeous. It was a lovely, just wild and crazy night. And my guy and I are sitting there, we're watching it, we're drinking our bourbon. And all of a sudden you hear this flicker behind you and we look and the power has gone out. And we kind of roll our eyes at each other because, you know, an overweight jogger is enough to knock out the power in our townhome community. So we slept on the floor in the living room that night. It was the coolest area in the house short of the bathtub because the cat had commandeered that spot for herself. And remember, this is the summer in the Midwest, in Chicago particularly, where humidity is an entity. But, you know, we still had this little bubble of optimism in our minds. You know, we're thinking, okay, maybe, just maybe, we'll wake up and, you know, we'll have that wonderful mechanical whirr in the air that we're accustomed to. Instead, we woke up, our phones are flashing low battery warnings at us, and our electric stove was just staring at us. There would be no coffee or tea this morning. There'd just be, you know, the aches and pains that old people get from sleeping on the floor. And this kind of suspicion that we'd just been shipwrecked in our own home. So survival mode totally kicked in. I started hoarding liquor and my guy rationed batteries. We all have our priorities. I decided to call it a personal day. My guy, he got in the car and went in search of free Wi-Fi. So I dragged a lawn chair out under a tree and just started napping a little bit. It was cooler outside than it was in our house. And, you know, I really should have known better. You know, I know that my neighborhood is full of weirdos and stalkers. So why I decided to just, you know, lay out under a tree, you know, like a goat for a Tyrannosaurus is beyond me. I don't know. I wasn't in my right mind. And of course, no sooner had I nodded off did I get jarred awake by some idiot neighbor staring down at me. You know, lady, I'm not a puppy smothering at a car. I can handle myself. But she looks down at me and she's like, so you're okay? You know, you still don't have power, right? And I'm like, oh, no, we've got power. We're fine. You're the one who doesn't have power. Well, she didn't get my joke, but whatever. I'm constantly amazed at the way people in general just kind of like band together. Not that this is a bad thing. This is a great thing in times of true crisis. But this was not a crisis. No one's house had blown down. We weren't flooded out. You know, this was just a power outage. It was a very personal and private thing as far as I was concerned. I didn't need companionship. Because y'all, my so-called Southern charm is limited at best. I'm Juliette Miranda at Morning Neurosis on Twitter. Or you can go to my website, which is theunwritablerant.com. And if you're so inclined, find me on iTunes. Leave me a little bit of a rate and review. I'd love to hear from you, and I would really appreciate the input. Cheers, y'all.
As a teenager, I tried to get Mr. T to autograph a Polaroid of diarrhea. He he wasn't super excited about that. I got escorted out of the mall.
Okay. So as a kid, you said you was a kid or a teen?
Teenager.
Okay, teenager. You're just walking around with a photograph of diarrhea in your back pocket?
So we had saw that Mr. T was going to be at the mall doing a signing. Uh-huh. So we cooked up this whole plan to take a Polaroid of just diarrhea in a toilet and try and get him to sign it. Nobody else was ballsy enough to do it, but I did. I just had it in my pocket, went and took some pictures with him. And then I was like, hey, Mr. T, do you mind? Could you sign this for me? And I covered up the top part of the Polaroid, and I just wanted him to sign the bottom so it would look like it was like, this is my shit. This is Mr. T's shit in the toilet. So I'm covering it up, and he gets around me. He puts his arm around me in this, like, big embrace, and he's like, what you got there? And I'm just like, I'd rather not show you. And he's like, come on, let me see. Is it a naked lady? And I was like, no. And he's just like, come on, let me see. I'm not going to sign until I see. And then I picked up my hand, and he was, toilet stew! He called it toilet stew and pushed me onto security, and they grabbed me by the arms and hustled me out the mall.
Which, by the way, was the right call.
Yeah. I'd like to think that they gave me the heave-ho, like grabbed me by the back of the neck and the back of the pants and tossed me out.
You had to pull you by your ear.
Yeah. Ow.
These are the days I know, I know. These are the days I know. These are the days I know, I know. These are the days I know. Some of them are Davids,
but most of us are Daves.
They all have their own hands, but they come from different moms.
Welcome to the Dave Podcast, Episode 10. This week, longtime Kevin Smith collaborator, director of photography, Dave Klein.
We are the Daves he knows, he knows. We are the Daves he knows.
These are the days I know, I know.
We are the days he knows, he knows.
These are the days.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Dave Podcast. I'm the Green Korean.
I'm Octopus Caveman.
And we are joined today by a couple of people. One of the people we'll bring on just right before the news. And right now, we got Slimer. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Yourself?
I'm excellent. What's going on with you guys?
Chilling.
You need to, like, sit up and talk into the mic like an adult.
This is comfortable.
You're so far away.
Oh. I'm all right. I'm doing pretty good.
So how's your week been, man?
It's been good. How about you?
Still getting over that cold, but feel a lot better.
Sounding better. Each episode is getting better and better.
Yeah, I'm doing okay now. Let's see what else is going on. Oh, I got to throw a little bit of love to a podcast that went away for a little while. They took a break and they're back, and it's the 98 Problems podcast.
Why'd they go away? Too many problems?
They had 99 problems. They had to get rid of one.
That bitch.
So, like, they have an awesome podcast where it's a couple guys out of the UK, and they put on these sketches, and the premise of the podcast is they will call in, or they'll have someone email in a problem, and then they will solve that problem. But it's all fictional, so it's just this one big, like, 20-30 minute comedy sketch.
That's awesome. I got to write in some problems. I got some problems need solved.
Yeah, I got a lot of problems to send these guys.
But it's amazing. Like, they have high quality production. It's scripted. The comedy is sharp. Awesome show.
By the way, if you have 99 problems, your problem, like, if you can identify the exact number of problems that you have, one of your problems is autism. Right? Like, that's some rain. Like, that's like Rain Man shit. Like, I've got problems in my life, but I couldn't give you a number. It'd take hours with a therapist for me to, like, get out all of my problems and be like, is that 99? Like, well, it's like 37, you know? Dude, I was listening to Prince today,
yeah,
and I had to pull some lyrics to bring it up because he straight up calls a girl dumb in Raspberry Beret. Like, it's bananas. It's all like this, you know, sweet love song about, like, meeting a girl and getting it on with her and stuff. Yeah. But there was a line that just, like, blew me away. Okay. I said, now overcast days never turned me on, but something about the clouds and her mixed. She wasn't too bright, but I could tell when she kissed me, she knew how to get her kicks. That's cold-blooded shit right there to just be like, yeah, she's dumb, but we fucked.
And so, I mean, I was just having like a Prince all day kind of day today. Yeah. And then...
I got to put my phone on silent. And I don't want it to go off.
Oh, yeah.
All
the time.
I don't know. Yeah, that Raspberry Beret line. Like, I love that song, but yeah, I've never heard it this way where it just hit my ear and I was just like, whoa, dude, just calling her a dummy in your bone down song. Warren Zevon did a rad cover of that song. He made it all like rockin'.
Warren Zevon?
Yeah. I think he did it on Letterman once, but yeah, he just did like a rockin' version of Raspberry Beret.
Oh, like a rockin' version. I thought you said a rapping version.
Oh, no.
So it's like Warren Zevon. What? Really?
Dude, Warren Zevon was into some way out of his time shit.
Have you seen that Larry Sanders Show episode where Warren Zevon was the musical guest? And before he goes on, he's like, I swear to God, please do not make me sing Werewolves of London. I'm so goddamn tired of that song. And the producer tells him, yeah, if you're good, sing your new stuff. We're cool with that. Whatever. So then they're a guest short on the episode. So then they bring him back out, and Gary Shan like, you know what I like? I like that Werewolves of London song. Can you sing that? And he like burns through it in like 2 minutes.
That's awesome. Warren Zevon was the best,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that was a
we're
great show.
We're officially old guys because we're talking about an old dead guy's cover of another dead guy.
All right, so I got a little surprise for you that came from Josh over at the One With podcast.
Oh, shit. Did I make the chalkboard?
So if you could open up your email, there's a video that I sent to you.
I would laugh my fucking head off if there was just like a giant dick. Here's like, got you.
Aw, oh, dude.
We made the chalkboard. Josh is the sweetest, man.
How awesome is that?
That's awesome.
That looks fucking rad.
Oh, he's the sweetest. I had complained about it on one of our episodes. I was just like, making that chalkboard is like on my bucket list. Josh is the coolest, man. That's so sweet.
You could die a fulfilled man now.
Yeah, I've done it. Tonight's the night.
You've got everything you want in life, man. Josh Saulback from the One With podcast put together, he does these chalkboard illustrations, and he put together a little video for us of him doing one for the Dave podcast. You'll see it come across our Twitter account probably a couple times over the next week or two. But dude, thank you so much. Josh, buddy, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's super awesome, man.
Yeah. Love those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And go check them out over at the One With podcast. They're a podcast that talks about TV and pop culture. Awesome show.
It is great. I love those two.
Yeah.
They watch shows so that I don't have to. Like, I tune in and I can hear them talk about stuff, and I'll be like, you know what? I think I'll skip Nashville. You know what I mean?
And you can find him at Josh Saulback, spelled Joshsolbach. I'm double checking that just to make sure I got it right. By the way, Slimer, we do a hell of a lot of editing on this show.
Yeah, no worries. No worries. Sorry, I'm just... Well, remember when my phone went off, like, a few minutes ago? It was a message from, you know, Mrs. Slimer.
Yeah.
And I guess before I left the house today, when I was grabbing my keyboard out of the closet, I guess the cat went into the closet before I closed it. And she just got home from work, and I guess, yeah, the cat was locked in the closet.
R. Kelly style?
Pretty much.
Please just call your cat R. Kelly from now on.
R. Kelly.
Have you watched Trapped in the Closet?
I haven't.
It's remarkable.
Yeah, that's what you were saying.
Yeah, I mean, he's got like a little person trapped under a kitchen sink, and like, it's just so crazy.
You mean a midget?
Yeah. Because there's a girl named Bridget in the song, so of course at some point you run out of rhymes and you got to throw a midget in there.
Yeah.
Well, it's very like stream on. Of consciousness, where it's almost like he's making up a song as he goes. We're just like, okay, I guess there's a midget hiding in a kitchen sink, and like the midget was having sex with this cop's wife, and the cop comes home and he's like making something to eat, and then he decides to look in there and there's a midget in. It's nuts. Like imagine a guy just making up a story in the form of a song, and then at the end of it, like at the end of the first chapter, everybody's like having sex and somebody's got AIDS. So it's like all wow. This like banana stuff, and then it's like, ooh, there's a message, you know? It's crazy. It's so fun,
though. I will look into this.
I mean, I think it's pretty fantastic. I love R. Kelly. I think he is just weird and wonderful, and I love that dude.
And he likes to pee on little girls.
That wasn't him.
What?
Was it R. Kelly impersonator?
It was.
Bullshit.
Look up the court case. It was not him.
Yeah, I thought he went to court and jail and all that shit. Hold on.
He didn't go to jail. Yeah, he went to court and he won the case.
He won the course with the wasn't me defense?
Yeah. Turned out that in the video there was a mole on his back, and R. Kelly doesn't have that mole.
Wow.
Could have just had it lasered off or something.
Yeah, he was acquitted in 2008.
So did they ever catch the real guy that peed on the chick?
I don't know. But yeah, it wasn't him, like, for real.
After less than a day of deliberations, June 2008, a Chicago jury found R. Kelly not guilty on all 14 counts. Wow.
Isn't that sad, though? Like we, the way our brains work, we're just like, yeah, R. Kelly's the dude who's into pissing on chicks. Meanwhile, he's, like, innocent, and it's an R. Kelly lookalike in the video. Like, that poor bastard.
Oh, my apologies to R. Kelly. I gotta send him a muffin basket.
Oh, that's great. We've got somebody to forgive for this episode. R. Kelly, you are forgiven. So we've forgiven Michael Richards, Mel Gibson, and then we took that one back. But R. Kelly and Michael Richards, we've forgiven them. They're good to go. Hollywood, hire them.
Well, no, we can't forgive R. Kelly because there's nothing to forgive. He didn't do it. He has to forgive me.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Okay. So we're asking for R. Kelly's forgiveness.
All right. Let's see if we can bring up Big Daddy.
There we go.
Jimmy.
Hello, good friends.
Hey, let me ask you this. Give me your gut reaction. Is R. Kelly guilty or innocent of peeing on a little girl?
Guilty.
Right?
I mean, didn't Dave Chappelle do piss on me or pee on me or whatever, you know? Of course he did it.
That's insane. We just had this debate where I thought that he was guilty. OC said he wasn't. Turns out he was acquitted, not guilty.
Oh, he did it. He still did it. OJ was acquitted. Come on. Based on a jury, I mean, Trayvon Martin shooter was acquitted. Really?
Oh, see, now I'm taking back my apology to R. Kelly.
I'm telling you, it was an R. Kelly impersonator in the video. That's how he got off.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to leave this one inconclusive till I dig into the internet and do some more research. Although, I don't know if I want to do that because I could be watching like videos of a guy peeing on a girl.
Yeah. Nowadays, you got to be very careful with Google Images what you type in. Like, if you type in, hey, I want to see pictures of people that are stoned. Right, thinking, hey, I'm going to see some pictures of people that are really high. You get those. You also get people from Eastern Europe or Islamic states that have been stoned to death.
Oh,
it's not fun.
Yeah, the next thing I know, the cops can be banging on the door saying, why are you looking at pictures of underage girls getting peed on? So,
right. See, so you don't even want to go down that road.
Yeah, maybe we'll just leave that one. we'll leave that one right there. We'll set it right there. All right, well, let's jump into the Dave News and see where we go.
Joining us now here in Los Angeles, Dave. That's his name, Dave.
You know why I love the news? It's so topical.
All right, let's kick off the Dave News. I got a news story from Offbeat Magazine.
All right.
Eurythmics' Dave Stewart forms a new blues band with Louisiana singer. Dave Stewart, the songwriter, arranger, and guitarist best known for being half of the new wave sensation The Eurythmics, has formed a new project with Louisiana singer by the name of Thomas Lindsay. The pair are calling themselves Stewart Lindsay, and their debut album, Spitballin', was released last June. The two artists joined forces in the most unlikely and most modern of ways. Lindsay, a native of Louisiana and a lifelong fan of the Eurythmics, caught the idol's attention with a tweet, which set in motion a series of events that led to their first album. So basically, Dave Stewart saw this guy's tweet, and he said, I'm a big fan, here's some of my music. And Dave Stewart clicked on it, listened to the guy singing a cappella, and now they formed a band, and they have an album.
Art begets art.
Fuck, well, hang on a minute, guys. I'm going to go tweet a shitload of links at Dave Stewart.
Too late, buddy. This other dude beat you to the punch.
What a dick. Thomas Who would have thought people would read that shit, you know? I mean, now I'm feeling uncomfortable that maybe Scarlett Johansson's been getting all those dick pics. That's awesome that he checked it out. Like, that's cool. The band is good, though. I mean, I just checked out one song a little while ago, and it's fantastic.
Right? Here's a little bit so Jimmy V can hear it. Are you a big fan of blues music, man?
Blues are cool.
Here's a little bit of that.
Well, I heard a funny story from the neighbor next door.
This sounds like some classic Eurythmics.
That doesn't sound like a dude.
I think it's a dude. The dude's name is, or it says Thomas.
Huh. Maybe it used to be a dude.
or is newly a dude. I mean, you never know these days.
Never know. Binary.
You see, I'm looking.
We're going to sound like such old dicks on this.
What was that one porn star where, is it a woman that became a dude?
Oh, Buck Angel. Buck Angel.
Is that the one I'm thinking of where it's just like a scary, like American History X looking motherfucker with a vagina?
Yeah, Buck Angel's the coolest, man.
So, wait, Buck Angel was born a dude.
No, born a lady, transitioned to a dude. So he's just a dude with a pussy.
Dude.
You guys should Google Buck Angel right now. It's mind blowing.
Dude, it's like the buffest pussy.
But he's a pretty cool dude. I heard him on Rogan once, and I was just like, holy shit, this guy's like fascinating and interesting and pretty funny. Because he was like, he gets it. He's like, yeah, I get it. It's weird. I'm a dude with a pussy. And you're like, thank God, you're making me comfortable with it. Like,
did he say it like that?
Yeah, that's exactly how he said it. I get it. It's weird. I'm a dude with a pussy. Like, he's a righteous dude. If you met him, you'd probably be into him.
Huh. Oh, that is a trip. I mean,
sexually, like 100%.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, that is a huge trip. This is a dude, like a buff dude with a vagina.
He's also got a sense of humor. He's righteous. Wow. I love him, man.
Wow. And by the way, I looked it up. The dude, Thomas Lindsay, the guy looks like Morgan Spurlock.
And sings like that?
Yeah, he's a redheaded guy, and he looks like Morgan Spurlock, and he sings like that.
Oh, so a little Simply Red-esque.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Morgan Spurlock being the supersize me
guy. Mick Hucknall, right?
Yeah.
Is that the dude from Simply Red, Mick Hucknall?
I think so.
Yeah, I love me some Simply Red.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Amazing.
Now, you mean to tell me you look like Morgan Spurlock, but you sing like a lady woman? Dude, I love that guy so much. Like, he was just the real deal. Like, just like the best at being the worst.
Yeah.
He did a whole episode on, like, going to, like, a hot dog on a stick. Now, do y'all make that lemonade every day? Just like so flabbergasted by everything. Like every day, Huel, we make the... So y'all get the lemons, and then you squeeze the lemons, and the juice comes out, and then you make lemonade? Like everything was a question, and everything was incredulous. Yeah. Like, man, like, I want to do a character where it's just Huel just like going way over the top with it. Just like, Jesus Christ. You make lemonade every day? Just ramp him up to like a 37. It's like,
all right, what do you got for a news story?
I have like the worst news story. Like, I'm ashamed of this news story, but I have Kardashian news.
What?
Yeah, I mean, should I skip it?
Yeah.
All right.
Wait, fuck
those whores.
I just looked over the headline.
I'll read the headline. We'll move on. Black China and the Kardashians buried the hatchet at Dave & Buster's.
Oh, shit. Sorry. I saw it from afar and thought that Black China and the Kardashian sisters were attacked with a hatchet at Dave & Buster's.
I could only wish.
Like, why the fuck are you putting it away? I want to see that.
I love that Big Daddy Jimmy V is making editorial decisions.
Like, well, come on. David Cameron is in the news. He got screwed with the whole Brexit vote.
All right. So I got bummer Dave news for you then. Former state senator Dave Newell just recently died. He was the state senator of Omaha.
Oh.
Well, of Nebraska, but he lived in Omaha. The wonderful state of Omaha. You mean to tell me Omaha's its own state? That's amazing. he just recently passed due to ALS, but I thought it was wonderful that in the last months, he had lost his voice. He was still using a machine to communicate and speak out for legislation that would allow doctors to prescribe life-ending drugs for terminally ill people.
Ooh, wow.
So I thought that was an interesting talking point. You know, Dave Newell, I'm not big on the political shit, so I have no idea. This guy might have been an asshole, but I thought it was an interesting talking point to talk about right to die.
Oh, let's get heavy. All right. Where we stand on this?
Yes.
I'm down with it.
I guess if that's what somebody chooses to do, it's one of those weird things.
Cause harm to anybody else, and if it's to alleviate suffering, yeah, hell yeah.
No, where I get hung up is like it has to be one of those weird things where the doctor will set the syringe on the bedside table, and the patient has to put the syringe into the catheter or whatever themselves and hit the plunger. Like, I don't think a doctor should put anybody out.
That's a good point. Yeah, do no harm. It would violate their oath.
Yeah. So that's where it gets a little bit tricky. I think everyone should have a choice on, you know, how they want to exit. That's fine. But, you know.
Well, and the whole thing, like Kevorkian did, he assisted, but he didn't do it, I don't believe. I mean, I think he had a device like, I don't know.
Just some weird Rube Goldberg device that eventually brings an axe down onto your fucking neck.
Right, something like that.
But you got to put the marble into the little mouth.
Yeah, he sets a mousetrap. Yeah,
you drop this marble in, and in 15 minutes, you'll know things will be done. So, I don't know, but I think he assisted in getting the drugs necessary to facilitate kind of thing. I'm not entirely sure, but I'm sure in some instances he may have actually done the plunging if someone was too incapacitated to do it themselves.
Yeah. By the way, that's got to suck if you go Rube Goldberg and you set up like a big 10-minute device and you're sitting there watching like the bowling ball roll down the slide.
Like on the other end, there's like some breakfast cereal like in the Pee Wee movie.
See, I think if I built a suicide machine, I would want it to be absurd and ridiculous to possibly make you chuckle one last time. I also think, I mean, there should be like a trial, you know, like there should be something that you have to go through to prove your dedication, like something awful, like watch a shitload of Huell Hauser, get through every episode of Huell Hauser to prove your dedication. And at the end, the suicide machine will grant your wish and shoot you in the forehead.
Ooh, you can go meta and go the process of the box. And in that, if somebody contacts somebody that and says, you know, hey, I'm sick and I'm looking for assisted suicide, they say, okay, but first you've got to assist somebody else in suicide.
Oh, dude, that is awesome. Let's build then that app.
The next, you know, the next person in line, and it's a pyramid scheme that is never ending. It's just the next person gets to kill the next person, gets to kill the next person, and you're just playing matchmaker for people that want to do assisted suicides.
Wow.
That's going to be the best creepy app ever. You're just like swiping left. Like, this guy doesn't look like he's going to make it painless.
He's not going to push the plunger down.
Oh, that's going to make an awesome M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Frank Langella killed it in the box, so we got to bring him into this one as like the guy, like the Kevorkian guy who builds this network, you know?
Yeah, except if you want to go out, you have to take out two people, and then they have to take out two people, and then slowly it starts to bleed into like people just murdering people, not sick people, but it's like, okay, somewhere down the line when you're into the hundreds, it starts bleeding into, all right, you take out this person, then we'll take you out.
Yeah, well, eventually if you do two for one, you're going to overrun your numbers. It's just mathematically going to happen that way.
Yeah.
And then if it's M. Night Shyamalan, just at the end, like everybody was a ghost anyway, and who fucking cares?
Right. What you find out in the very end is that everybody's already dead, and this is just getting them to move on to the next level, meaning that everybody that's left alive is in purgatory.
Ooh. There's the twist.
We just made up an awesome movie, dude.
We just meta'd it all. Yeah, there you go.
Also, an awesome piece of legislation. I like this. You got to kill one to be killed.
Yeah, no, you got to kill two. Because if we get lucky, someone may take out Kim Kardashian and Justin Bieber.
Oh, my God.
And David Bush.
I don't wish death upon them. I just wish them to disappear from the internet.
All right, I got one more news story. This one comes from TheInquisitor.com, an article written by David Joseph. It was reported that Kevin Smith and Stephen Amell were both interested in Kevin Smith in joining the writing staff for future seasons of the show. After all, Smith did write two popular Green Arrow comic book series. According to comic books, Stephen Amell finds the idea of Kevin Smith being allowed in the writing room a huge bonus.
Yep.
Let me throw this out to you. So one of the things that Kevin Smith said that he wanted to do on Arrow was bring his onomatopoeia character to TV.
Correct.
And are you guys familiar with the onomatopoeia character that Kevin Smith created for Green Arrow?
No.
No. Was it Green Arrow or he wants to bring onomatopoeia, not from Green Arrow, from the Cacophony, Batman Cacophony. Yeah, Bellicosity is up next, and the thing is, referencing the article you're talking about, he was in a meeting with Jeff Johns at DC, and somebody said, oh, come into my office, and said, hey, you're talking about this onomatopoeia thing, and, you know, you want to do it on Arrow, but how about you finish that book first?
Right.
And so now it looks like he's going to have to get to work on it a little bit in August to get that finished up so that that can get released. And then you have closure on the onomatopoeia character and you can use them in Arrow or whatever later.
Right. And for those people who don't know, Kevin Smith has written two books in a 3-book trilogy of a Batman series. Widening Gyre, Cacophony, and the third one's called Bellicosity. We've been waiting for a couple years for Bellicosity to drop because he's just been too busy. Onomatopoeia is a villain. His characteristic is he doesn't talk. He just makes the sound of what he's doing. So if he clicks his gun, he'll go click, click.
Oh, okay, see, I was under the impression like he was just so good at like mimicking these sounds like the dude from Police Academy. Dude. If you were to play that character in a movie, just cast him. What was his name again?
Michael Winslow. Yeah.
That'd be fucking amazing.
Oh, that's got to be his nemesis, right? Onomatopoeia's nemesis should be a dude with the opposite thing who just like... I would watch that fucking cop movie.
Fuck yeah.
New superhero movie. We're bringing back Michael Winslow.
It sucks. You don't really see him in anything anymore. Just how about Michael Winslow as Batman?
Oh, dude.
Like for, I don't know, like, okay, Gotham. Okay, mind you, I'm quite a few seasons behind on that show, but if they could, you know, just replace a cast member with Michael Winslow, like Bruce Wayne. You know, the kid's a good actor, but having Michael Winslow in Bruce Wayne's place just would be amazing.
Like a 60-year-old black dude playing Bruce Wayne as a child.
Just making these ridiculous sound effects.
Yes, and I'm in now. Now I'm in on the show. I haven't watched, but I'd watch that.
No, I'm surprised he wasn't in that Wu-Tang Clan martial arts movie, Iron Fist or whatever. He would be great in a martial arts movie.
Yeah,
are you kidding? He would be sitting on the side going.
Oh, his like dubbed like kung fu movie stuff. That was hilarious.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about Michael Winslow for this episode. That guy's the best. Have you ever seen his like Hendrix impression where he does
it's amazing.
Yeah, it's guitar sounds and stuff. No, I want him to just start a band.
Hold on, I gotta look that up now.
Have you heard Judd?
No, who's
Judd is two dudes who started a metal band that they only use their voices. So just like Judd.
Yeah, they actually played shows like that.
Yeah, it's just they will play live and it's just like two dudes with microphones just Judd.
They have like the wah-wah song or like,
Hold on. Let me pull up a little bit of Judd. Hold on.
Dude, get ready to get your mosh on.
So metal.
That's awesome. I got my new ringtone.
This guy's got laid all the time.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
Hello, this is for...
Can't we say hello at the same time?
Fuck's sake.
Hello!
This is an advertisement for Master Debaters.
Oh, can we say Master Debaters together as well?
Yeah? Hello! I am Michael.
I'm Sean.
I'm Toffer.
And we are the Master Debaters.
Oh, we are
the Master Debaters.
That's what we want
to
do.
We're all saying it.
Yeah.
Hello! I'm Michael.
I'm Sean.
I'm Toffer.
And we are the
Master Debaters. Damn it, Sean! Debaters. I thought we were just doing...
Hello! I'm Michael.
I'm Sean.
I'm Toffer.
We are...
The Master Debaters.
You can find us on Twitter at _MasterDebaters, SoundCloud, Podbean, and iTunes. Just do yourself a favour and jump aboard this podcast train.
Choo-choo, motherfucker!
Highly recommend the show, advert take...
3,069.
Eyebrow entertainment. I'm Dino Peppers.
And I am Bodacious Boulamont.
Fuck. Stop with the names. Just Boulamont. Or Cis Shitlord, you know, the name you call yourself every week. Highly recommended show.com.
Highbrow humour for lowbrow people.
All right. With that, let's close out the Dave news and go into our featured Dave. All right. Our featured Dave this week, we are going to be talking about cinematographer Dave Klein. And you might know Dave Klein from the many Kevin Smith films that he's collaborated with Kev on. Okay, so here's what I got. He's been Kevin Smith's right-hand man on the films of Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, Clerks 2, Zack and Miri Make a Porno, Cop Out, and Red State. But while he still occasionally collaborates with Kev, Dave Klein has gone on to be a director of photography on television shows such as Pushing Daisies, True Blood, Homeland, and Reaper. So, well-established man outside of Kev.
Very true.
And
he did Honey, too.
He did do Honey, correct. He also did the infamous Zizek's Road.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But before
he also made a short in college with Scott Mosier called Willem Black, and the main character of the short was an early version of the Willem character from both Clerks and Mallrats.
Oh, very cool.
Oh, and he did Vulgar. Vulgar was great, man. Vulgar is so fucked up.
I never got to see that.
Me neither.
I always wanted to see that.
Is that line
I
in that
still
movie
haven't watched it yet.
It's amazing. At one point, like... It's about a clown that gets raped by a bunch of dudes. But at one point, the guy that's raping the clown is like, get your ass on that bed. I'm going to make hate to you. And it's like, oh, my God, the dialogue in this is intense.
Wow.
You're watching this clown get raped. And then, like, the guy who's raping him, his kids are with them. Like, so it's a guy and his two adult children who raped this clown. And the two adult children are watching their dad rape a man. And they're just like, dad's tough. Like, that's the dialogue. Just them, like, sitting watching this rape go down. And they're like, look at dad. Dad's tough.
Yeah, but since we're talking about David Klein, did the film look pretty?
It was beautiful. It was the most beautiful rape I've ever seen.
Okay, how come I'm not able to find... I can't find... Am I spelling it wrong?
Yeah, K-L-E-I-N.
E-I-N.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Like, Kevin Klein.
Yeah, and just for people who don't know what a director of photography does... Director of photography...
Neither do I. No.
Director of photography, commonly known as the DP or the cinematographer, is the chief over the camera crews working on a film or television set and is responsible for all photography components of a film, including the framing, the costumes, the makeup, and the lighting, as well as the DP is typically the assistant for the post-producer for the color correction of the film. So the cinematographer will also select the camera, the film stock, the lens, the filter, basically carries out the vision of what the director wants. So the director will say, I would like it shot from this angle, from like tits up, the cut this tight, and the director of photography will figure out, okay, here's how it's going to look cool. I'm going to use this lens. I'm going to shoot it this way, et cetera, et cetera. So very much Kevin Smith's right-hand man on any film shoot.
Yeah, even second unit on Chasing Amy. So, I mean, he must be just one of his bros, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, Chasing Amy, second unit, that's like, second unit is, if I understand correctly, like, you need to splice in 5 shots of this green car driving in different areas of Brooklyn throughout the film. The director's not going to go get those shots of the green car because the principals are in those shots. The second unit will set up and will produce those shots.
Yeah, they'll also refer to it as like B-roll, you know?
Yeah, they'll get that B-roll. They'll do those second unit shots. And second unit can include extras and things like that, obviously, but no principals really in second unit.
Did he have some sort of falling out with Kevin Smith? Is that why he's not doing these later movies of his?
No, he's very busy now. You look at what he's been doing, from his production schedule, he was on Homeland, you know, straight 24 episodes for 2 years, and before that, he was doing True Blood for 3 years, you know, and shooting some other stuff in between. He's got a TV miniseries right now called Six. He just did a TV movie last year called Runner. So with him working and with Kevin's schedule, when Kevin gets a movie that comes up and, hey, Tusk comes up and I'm shooting it in the month of X, and then Yoga Hosers, I'm shooting Yoga Hosers in the month of August because the girls got to go back to school. If he's not available, he's not available.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Those last two, those came up out of nowhere. It's like, you know, he wrote the script and went around and turned into production and did the whole thing, you know, in a short amount of time.
But I think it's been kind of interesting to watch Dave Klein progress as a cinematographer, going from Clerks to Mallrats all the way up to Red State, because Red State is it's a bloody movie, but it is a gorgeous movie.
It really is. That movie looks great.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's, in my opinion, I think that was the top of what Kevin Smith has produced so far. Either that or Clerks. Well, Dogma's pretty good, too.
Dave didn't do Dogma. I wonder why he didn't do Dogma.
He might have been busy on a different movie, you know?
Oh, he was after Chasing Amy, he did When, Carlo's Awake, Eyes of Heaven, Vulgar, State of Grace, and it wasn't until Clerks 2, so 97 to 06.
Yeah.
He was off doing his own thing.
Yeah. But I mean, even if you look at his growth from Clerks to Clerks 2, I mean, that's huge.
That's pretty huge. Yeah. Because Clerks looks like security cam footage.
Clerks looks like it was made for 28,700 and whatever change. So,
yeah.
See, that always blows my mind, though. Like the budget on movies, and you're like, everyone's like, oh, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, this indie movie, they did it with like $2 million. I'm like, shit, I could make that movie for way less than $2 million. I feel like I could do it. Like, I would just gather people up and be like, here, like, let's take a weekend and get some shit from like the Halloween store and make a movie.
I don't even know how much it cost them to make Blair Witch Project, and that was just like, mount a camera on my chin and
fuck that movie so hard I puked after that movie.
Why?
It gave me the worst headache. It was just like that shaky cam footage. I stepped outside and I puked.
Yeah, I didn't see it in theaters, so I didn't really get the pukiness.
So bad. I hate that movie.
I did see it in theaters, and I did hate the shaky cam, but I also pissed my pants at the end, so there was that.
Yeah, I mean, the end is scary, but yeah, as soon as it was over, it was like this weird vertigo from just the
shaky totally
to like real life again, and it just made me throw up. And I'm not normally like nauseous throw up guy. Like, I don't even puke when I drink.
Well, sometimes you've got to make room.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'll do that on purpose sometimes, you know. Like buffet style, you know, sometimes you need to do a round two. You got to empty out the old stomach and get ready for round two, you know.
Got to get your money's worth.
Go to a churrascaria, you know, you get that Brazilian barbecue. I'm going to make room and go round two.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's like $70 or some shit now. So
yeah, get bang for your buck.
Yeah.
That's a pro tip from me to you. Play the more you know sound.
You know what? Let's do this, because this is also our thank you Kevin Smith episode that we're going to post online on his birthday.
August 2nd.
Yeah. So what in terms of Kevin Smith, like where do you draw inspiration from? What's the most inspirational thing that he's done that you really appreciate?
Really, you know, it's just, you know, spread the word, light a candle and, instead of cursing the darkness, shine a light, be positive and don't be so negative. Anybody can be a dick. Being a dick is the easiest thing to do. Trying to be positive or encouraging others, that takes balls, that takes guts, and that produces results. Being a dick doesn't produce anything but angst.
And cum.
Being positive, you know, supportive of others, it goes around and comes around, so.
Yeah. I think for me with Kev, there's a can-do attitude that he has that in the beginning it was his can-do attitude with Clerks. You know, he got his buddies together. He has talent, just great writing talent, and he made a fantastic, entertaining movie. His talent as a director, and he'll probably be the first one to tell you, he's limited as a director. But that hasn't stopped him from making a bunch of really funny movies and entertaining a lot of people. So for me, that's the inspiration that I draw from Kev, in that you use what you got, you go with your strengths and everything else, you know, you surround yourself with people who can do it better than you or can help you, like, reach the goals that you're trying to reach.
I just admire, the punk rock DIY spirit of just like, man, just make a movie, make a podcast, make music, you know? Like, I've spent my whole life just being so punk rock about shit like that. Just like, yeah, I don't need a fucking major label. I'll just make an album. And now here I am 19 solo albums later. And, you know, what do I have now? Like 4 podcasts?
Yeah.
You know, that's inspiring to just be the dude that's just like, yeah, give it a shot. You know, and he's been encouraging of other people getting into podcasting, making movies. So it's nice to see a guy that's at the top but still looking down like, come on, guys, this is fun, you know?
Yeah, that whole chasing whimsy philosophy that he has. Like, this looks like fun. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go do it and just enjoy it. And if something comes of it, great. If not, then I did something fun.
Fucking A, I should make that porno, huh?
I'll be your DP on it.
there will definitely be DP going down in this video.
Slimer, do you got any do you get any inspiration from Kev Smith?
I haven't seen all of his stuff, but I do remember Clerks, you know, when it first came out on VHS. I want to say I was like 12 years old when I saw it, and I laughed my ass off. But once you get older and then you have to get like a job, especially a shitty job when you deal with the public, I like to go back and watch that movie every once in a while. Anyone that's ever worked in retail or a restaurant or just had to take shit, you know, and just kind of like forced into that position on a daily basis needs to watch that movie. And it's just weird because I'll run into younger people that have never heard of that movie. And I think that's the weirdest thing. They all know who Kevin Smith is, but like when I think Kevin Smith, I think Clerks, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, the Clerks guy. Like, I know he did a whole lot of other shit later, but that's going to be the first thing I think of when I think Kevin Smith.
It would have been
hilarious if Slimer just fucking hated Kevin Smith, though. Like, we just get around to the end and he's just like, fuck that fat asshole.
You know what? I just want to throw out there, too. Red State. That's a great movie, too. If you want to see something different from Kevin Smith.
It is a great movie. It's a beautiful movie. But I also think it's one of the first movies to bring back the roadshow, because he roadshowed that movie, just going theater to theater and doing live performances and meet and greets, right?
Yeah.
And then shortly after, Paul Thomas Anderson did that with The Master, and then Quentin did it with Django, or not Django, he did that with The Hateful Eight. Like, I think Kevin Smith is responsible for bringing back roadshowing movies.
That's a good point, yeah. Or at least repopularize and getting the public to kind of get used to the idea, which is really cool. If you could go see a movie presented by the director, that's awesome. Which, by the way, Jimmy V has had a couple chances to do that.
Yeah, I've done Yoga Hosers already, too, so.
That's awesome. I'm going to do that with Backdoor Sluts 9. My neighbor made it, and he's going to show it to me.
Not Backdoor Sluts 9. Backdoor Sluts 9.
It's the Backdoor Sluts Bang.
Hey, can you give us any sneak peeks on Yoga Hosers? Because by the time this comes out, Yoga Hosers will be very close to release.
I think it's great. I think it's a fun movie. Opens with Harley and Lily Rose just rocking out, performing a version of Anthrax's I Am the Man.
Yeah. And then, just to jump in real quick for the people who don't know, Harley is Kevin Smith's daughter, Harley Quinn Smith, and Lily Rose is Johnny Depp's daughter, Lily Rose Depp. And so they're the stars of this movie.
Yes. Yes, they are. It's a kid's movie. Sasheer Zamata from SNL plays the principal of the school. And she's only literally on the movie like a minute, but she's awesome. She's very, very good. It's fun. It's kids' movie. Two girls kicking ass against the forces of evil with the help of a mole-sprouting detective. Johnny Depp's character, Guy Lapointe from Tusk, you know, is back. And from the time you first see him to the end of the movie, he gets like 30 moles on his face. It's like, and like in a scene, you'll be looking at him and they'll cut to, you know, the other person talking, and then it cuts back to him, and he's either his moles have moved or he's gotten more.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's just fun.
Yeah. I'll bet Dave Klein would have replied to your tweet. Shit, I'll bet Kevin Klein would have
But
that's what we got to do. Let's stop asking like these celebrities. Let's just ask random Daves if they have a quote about, like, just find a random Dave on Twitter and ask him, like, hey, we're doing Dave Klein, you got a quote for the show? They'll just be like, what the fuck?
You're like, Dave Klein, we're talking about Dave Mustaine, do you have a quote about him?
Yes. Let's just assume that all Daves know each other. Like, you know how super racist white people do that with like black guys? They'll just be like, so I was talking to, you know, Shaq, right? Like, let's just do that with Dave's. Like, you know Dave Klein, right?
Holy shit.
Ask a Dave. Dangerous. We have to do that as a segment for the show. Amazing. Ask a Dave. We just ask a Dave a random piece of shit question. It's like, what do we do to fix the country?
I'm adding that segment.
We got to do Ask a Dave.
Dude, David Lee Roth.
That would be great.
So, all right.
And if they don't respond, just tell them to fuck off. And just like spend like a good half hour just defaming them on the broadcast, on the podcast.
Yeah, we'll ask a Dave if they're dicks to us. We'll do an episode just shitting on them for an hour. Just bitch about it for
fuck
an hour.
You, Dave.
All right, and with that, let's wrap up our featured Dave of Dave Klein. Okay, so we decided that we're not going to do a Dave off this episode, and we're just going to go with a Dave of the Week. Do you have a Dave of the Week? Because I have a Dave. We could go with Dave the Nerd as our Dave of the Week.
Oh, that's awesome. Let's do that, because Dave the Nerd's great.
Okay, so we have coming up on a future episode, Dave the Nerd, a super awesome guy. He is the host of the podcast Dave's Nerd Compendium. And so if you want to listen to a podcast about comic books, superhero movies, that kind of stuff, follow Dave at DaveTheNerd_DNC. And his podcast is called Dave's Nerd Compendium. Okay, that's it, man. That's going to wrap up the show. Big Daddy, buddy, you want to share a little love about your podcast?
Oh, yes. The From Ear to Table podcast. It's a podcast about food. I'm somebody that knows nothing about food, so rightly so, I make a podcast about it. I love cooking. We explore different areas, different cuisines. We have fabulous conversations and meals with people. We've had Andrew McKelfrish on.
I just saw that tweet. Storm Raven is fucking hilarious. I can't wait to listen to that one, man.
Oh, Storm Raven's awesome. He is absolutely a phenomenal guy.
Slimer, buddy, you got some music you want to promote?
No. I'm just along for the ride.
he's only played in one project that he probably doesn't want to promote.
Yeah.
You're like Prince. You just make this shitload of music and put it in the vault.
Prince didn't really die. He's just on this fucking podcast right now.
Prince sounded like you just in his speaking voice. I'd be so disappointed. Wouldn't Prince have made a really awesome Blackula?
Oh.
Like, love, wouldn't he just been, like, so suave and amazing? Like, if they rebooted Blackula, yeah, it would have been amazing to have Prince.
Oh, what totally was the name of the actor that originally played Blackula?
Wasn't it, I don't know.
Scott Bakula?
Scott Bakula is Blackula. I'd be all about it. That's why his career's in the toilet since Enterprise. Get on it, Bakula. You got a silly name. We like it.
Oh. I'm looking up Blackula right now, hoping that the actor's name is Dave.
Is there a Dave involved with Blackula? Because there would be nothing more than I would love to have you back on, Slimer, and talk Blackula.
Yeah, I'm disappointed. There's no Daves involved.
Oh my God.
There's no devolvement.
Dave Volvement.
Wait a second now. Hold on. Blackula had one Dave in it.
Did it? Where?
A white man named David Westberg played an uncredited L.A. cop.
Has he done anything else?
Yes. He was actually an uncredited valet in The Graduate.
Dude, he was in Logan's Run.
Yeah, see what I'm saying?
Oh
boy, he was on Chips, done a lot of acting.
He did a McMillan and Wife. We got to do this guy just to talk about Blackula.
Just make the entire thing about Blackula.
Yeah.
He's added to the list.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a great movie.
Have you seen the sequel, though, the Scream, Blackula Scream?
I own it. I haven't had a chance to see it, though.
William Marshall was Blackula.
Yes. But Dave Westberg, well, where's William Marshall now?
In the grave, right?
Yeah, see, he's not Dave Westberg.
William Marshall will forever be the king of cartoons from Pee Wee's Playhouse for me, though. Holy shit, we're doing a Blackula episode.
I'll bring it over next time I come.
Nice.
All right.
I'll bring the sequel too.
So we got that to look forward to. We got a Blackula episode coming up in the near future. Our next
episode. Halloween!
What?
We got to do that for Halloween.
Dude, Blackula History Month.
Oh, that was February.
And just do Blackula for the entire month. All right, our next...
Holy crap!
What?
William Marshall played Tony Stark in a 1982-83 Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends TV series. Cool. He was the voice of Tony Stark.
So what? Blackula was Iron Man?
Blackula was Iron Man.
Wow.
That's holy what I'm shit saying.
If you just tweeted that out, people would think you lost your fucking mind. Just those words. Blackula is Iron Man.
Take that, M. Night Shyamalan. That's right there.
That's the best way to end it.
All right. If you want to follow us over at Twitter, you can find us at Dave Podcast. But just know this, we will not follow you back because we only follow Dave's. If you want to follow Octopus Caveman, he'll follow you back at Octopus Caveman. If you want to follow me, you can follow me at Green Korean One. I will follow you back as well. And if you want to find our website, DavePodcast.com, email address is Dave@DavePodcast.com. Whew. All right. Coming up next time on Dave, we have a very special guest. We have Dave the Podcast. They are going to be our dude guest.
I'm so stoked.
So I don't know if you've heard this, the previous episode. We are the Dave Podcast. They are Dave the Podcast. And we stumbled upon them and we said, guys, we need you to come on this show.
Ah, nice.
We're going to fight for the name.
It's going to be a battle royale for the name. Just like Highlander, only one can survive.
Two Daves enter, one Dave leave.
I wonder if they're as fucked by their silly name as we are, you know?
So if you want to listen to a better Dave podcast, please go check out Dave the Podcast.
Blackula History Month.
All right. Big Daddy Jimmy V. Slyber, thank you guys for joining us.
Excellent. Thank you.
And OC, buddy, hey, good hanging out with you once again.
Absolutely, man.
And
Big Daddy Jimmy V, so great to have you on, man. You're the best.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
And, like, well, shit, how does it go?
Oh, let's have Big Daddy Jimmy V do it.
Oh, that's right. We're having our... Okay, Big Daddy Jimmy V, if you wouldn't mind closing out the show for us.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
We are the days he knows, he knows. We are the days he knows.
These are the days I know, I know.
We are the days he knows.
Now these are the days.